disaster preparedness. Are you ready? Are you ready, man?
Social sourcing. This is the big topic for today. Social sourcing is an alternative way to source materials in any type of context, be it emergency or not. But it really is one that is focused on trying to maximize the impact in the focus area of the intervention. Okay, this is a kind of a new look at how to actually maximize the impact and how to do this closer to the population that we're working with. Okay, so social sourcing is looking at the local market around an area that's been affected by a disaster, and this is an emergency context, and looking at the vendors that are locally there and seeing what they have and what can they get and how could we maybe source from them to provide the response. Okay, this is different than what was normally done in traditional supply chains where we would buy things from a distance, oftentimes from the capital or the border area of a country, and then move it out to the area of operation. Now we're saying, no, let's not do that push logistics. Now let's look at a pull-focused logistics, where we look at local vendors who are connected to that bigger market, and we make orders to them for certain types of items, and then they go out into the market and get those items, of course, then charging a fee or premium onto the price they get. But the good thing is that we are investing in the local economy. We're making them part of the response. And they are creating a pool supply chain where they are bringing stuff in and they are then providing it to us or the beneficiaries that we've determined. Okay. Social sourcing, it is connected with market-based interventions. And it's almost like market-based interventions, but still supply chain, still with your procure and distribute aspect of it. And for that reason, it is sort of probably the potential first response that you can do in an emergency. And this is very important because that's the moment when we need to be using social sourcing, is in that those first 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks of a response, when it's taking us time to get things from a farther distance over to the area of operation for then distribution, be it prepo, be it things we buy, be it donations. The social sourcing option is one that's right there from the moment the disaster happens, and we just need to identify it and then act on it, okay? And oftentimes, the other thing that's there at the same time are these donations that come from the local community that get sent out immediately, you know, soon after response, and then start to arrive a lot of times at our partners. And these start to clog up our staging areas. But those are other supplies we could use as well. And we need to find out how to use that. But that's not social sourcing. That's a local in-kind donations. But anyways, back to social sourcing. So the question we have is, how can we work with these local markets to make them viable supply options? And the thing comes down to, unfortunately, sometimes our specifications are too high that it doesn't work with these local vendors and what they have in stock. So we need to sort of, to make this work, we have to actually take our specifications and simplify them down to the very key aspects that are most important. And to give you an example of this, tarpaulins are one of the main types of assistance provided in acute shelter interventions. And tarps, you know, the ones we use globally are very complicated and very hard to buy in most countries because they have reinforced bands that just most tarpaulins don't have, truck-based tarpaulins. So if you take out that specification and you just focus on the weight capacity of the tarpaulin and the range between what would be the reinforced band and the regular part of the tarpaulin, you can set a range of weight for the tarp that then you can see if you can find tarpaulins locally that have that capacity. Okay, and you can find that. You can actually find those on the market. Sometimes not in large quantities, but you can start to piece together from different vendors enough to then be able to start to distribute. Okay. So, but to do that, you need to move from what would be your ideal max level specs to then, okay, well, if we are going to buy it locally, we can accept this range for this type of material, and it would allow for faster assistance, though maybe in the long run might not last as long as the max specifications. But that's okay because we're getting the assistance out there quickly. Okay. Another example of this might be CGI sheeting, where we can figure out different types of gauges, although it's kind of confusing because there's like three gauges systems worldwide. But if we focus in on just one, the kind of one we tend to use, the standard British one, and then we focus on the millimeter thickness, you can set a sort of range that is what we like to work with. And then you can try to find that through the vendors, okay, if you want to move into that type of intervention. But other things like buckets, I mean, buckets are pretty simple. They're sort of standard size buckets, and those usually we can find. They may not be exactly like the ones we like to use, like the Oxfam ones, but good enough. And we can move on that. Okay. Rope, same thing. We have sort of different specs, but 6 to 8 millimeters diameter, nylon, polypython type rope is what we need. And we seem to make sure we can get 30 millimeters of that per tarp. So if we can find it locally, excellent. We can buy it with the tarps, we can get out to beneficiaries, and we can get them out of the elements quickly. Okay? So how is social sourcing done? That is the question. And, you essentially will be doing this at the very beginning in week one when you're just going out and doing the needs assessment. So at the same time, parallel, there's an opportunity there for the ops people or logistics people to go to the market, the local market, and find out which are the main vendors in that area and what kinds of stocks do they have, and start to check those stocks and items versus the key relief items that we need and what we expect to need. Okay. And then as the needs information comes in from the programming staff who are out there in the field, you can then say, okay, yes, they do need this, and we found this items that is good enough. So then we can maybe look at doing a social sourcing with these vendors. Okay. So identifying the stores, find ones of decent size that should have a capacity to manage these orders. But that by no means doesn't mean you leave out all like small suppliers if there are some there as well. But you try to find ones that have a significant quantity in stock. Find out how much they have. Get their quantities, their numbers, their inventories, and find also what is their price. And try to triangulate that price to find out is it fair based on pre-emergency prices. You may need your partners may be able to help you with that in terms of what price they're giving. But you want to find out that key information, and then if it is something that is reasonable, then you could say, hey, I'd like to make an order, and we want you to prepare a truckload essentially would be the advisable thing. The reason why I do truckloads is, okay, you're gonna be buying a quantity to send to a certain community that's been identified. And those members of that community will be registered and be ready to receive. And so when you send it there, you want to sort of try to complete that community, and a truckload itself would be the way to go. So you're maximizing your transport space and then the actual distribution of the community. And cover that community. But if the communities are small, you may want to do a couple communities with various communities for one truckload that kind of move between them. But making sure you complete the communities themselves and don't leave communities partially assisted if possible. Okay. Now the other thing too is you got to tell the vendors then that if the community likes the items that you're buying, that you're sourcing from them, and the price stays favorable, very important. So they realize that they should keep things accessible for the people in their community that are in need. And if their restocking capabilities are good, then you will have subsequent orders. And so that gives them an incentive then from your purchase to then go out and source more if there's a confidence that there will be more demand. Okay. And this is great because then you can see how fast their pull effect works on the market. Bringing in resources, and hopefully within and you can ask them like how long will it take you, and then you can see that's your indicator, your key performance indicator, and then you measure them against that to see yes they were able to achieve it as they said, or they did it faster, or no, They struggled. They could not secure transport, and they could not find, or they could not find from the regular suppliers. They need to look elsewhere. And then you realize, okay, there are market dysfunctions at play, or this community is very disconnected. Okay. So that is kind of how you could set it up and test these suppliers with some communities identified. And then through that, you can see is social sourcing an option, and how well does it perform? Social sourcing doesn't happen in a vacuum, though, and this is really important to remember. As you're finding out the needs, as you're understanding the local market, what options are there, you also need to be designing the overall intervention. And you need to be looking at all your possible options for supply and how you want to bring them together. Okay. And we know there are five basic types of supply. You've got market-based interventions. You've got purchase and distribute. So go out and purchase from national markets. You've also got your prepo, things you can bring in from prepo. And you got donations coming from different actors. You know, big international organizations will have resources that come in. They can donate through the cluster groups out to different areas of intervention. And finally, the last one is sort of one that comes into play sometimes, swaps and loans between actors. As you know, maybe somebody's got a pipeline break, another one's got a surplus. They can lend as long as the specs match or are sufficient, and then you can keep the supply going. So there's five basic types of supply, and then you have to see what your total needs are, what the different needs, how they will change over a period of time, and then you need to try to tailor together your supply chain plan with those different options, okay? So social sourcing is one, and you may find it out in the first couple of weeks in nearby the intervention area, and you can test to see how they perform. But at the same time, you have to be looking at these other aspects, looking at what is the logistical capacity in the area? How much need is there overall? Where can you bring things in? What are the bigger feeder markets? And then these other alternative sourcing options. And then you put together your plan. One of the key things to consider here when putting together your plan is that everything can change quite significantly in you know, a matter of months or a short amount of time. And what seemed like a lack of resources in the local market can all of a sudden, you know, the change, they can actually get resources. And so you want to try to avoid a situation of bringing a lot of resources in from outside if you can get them locally. Okay. So when putting together your plan, try to make smaller orders, even though, you know, there's a temptation to buy a lot, so you'd have guaranteed, try to buy smaller size orders that you can adjust. Because you want to be able to always switch back to local sourcing or social sourcing when conditions are permitted, because it has all those other benefits that we talked about earlier, the sort of the social benefits, the feeding the economy, helping you know, different economic actors rebound, and then also feeding the more resources into the general population. So try to keep things in a smaller scale, so that your orders are not so big that you have this big backlog of stock that you have to get rid of, and then try to be flexible to adjust between modalities as needed. Okay. Now, social sourcing is a great way. It's the intro to market-based programming, which is one of the things that is our signature area. And this is something you need, when you start to do the social sourcing, you really at that time need to have your market people coming in. Because then they can start to see, okay, can we transition, you know, buying and moving to, oh, let's try using vouchers or other mechanisms, and populations can go there and get these items from these vendors. And you can change, you know, different options in that way. So bring in a market person early as well is key, so they can start to understand that. And they can build off of this information coming from the social sourcing. But then they can see, okay, can we evolve this into different mechanisms, and how would it work best? They'll oftentimes conduct a more thorough market assessment at that point, which is fine. What we're talking about until now has been some kind of like incremental market assessments that are good enough to take some actions. But then you need to get to a more comprehensive one, an EMMA, and then that will give you a clearer picture of all the options and how they connect and what is the market system. Okay.
So that's pretty, those are kind of the key things you need to be considering. And then, you know, you can move around between them. But social sourcing is in many ways a preferred type of intervention that has high options of impact at the beginning and then can transition nicely, providing information for other types of interventions that we favor, like market-based interventions. And that covers essentially our introduction to social sourcing. If you have any need for more information, please do not hesitate to contact us at the HRD operations team, or you can go on our eFOM. There's lots of great information there. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Disaster preparedness. Are you ready? Are you ready, mine?